I'm going to set a timer because I have a 15 minutes. I have a terrible habit of waffling on. Okay, so I will say that the biggest crisis facing our NHS is the workforce crisis. We struggle to value our workforce. We struggle to empower our workforce. We struggle to retain our workforce. If we don't have a workforce, we can't deliver care. That is the NHS constitution. For the people, by the people, in time of need. In a minute, I'm going to introduce you to Sarah Sibley, who's an excellent practitioner for valuing our workforce. And I want you just to think about how can we use the workforce differently? How can we value the workforce? If you're sat in this audience and you're into digital innovation, I get it. I want you to think about how can we use digital to empower education and training of our workforce? How can we use digital to empower the value in our workforce? It's slightly different than thinking how can we use digital to empower patients. Because care and compassion travels in system. If you can't deliver care and compassion to the workforce, you cannot deliver care and compassion to the patients. So that's my take-home message. I'm going to tell you a little bit about a new practitioner. Oh, I don't know, I'm nervous. I'm going to tell you a little bit about a new practitioner. It's unusual for me. A little bit about a new practitioner onto the system in the Northwest. And I want you to think about how we can use, how we can research, how we can evaluate these new practitioners, and how can we use them differently to deliver the care that we need. And I'm going to give you an example of some of the innovations we've done with workforce. Okay. So the physician associates are the new practitioner onto the block. The physician assistants are nothing new in America. There is three physician assistants to every one doctor in the American healthcare system. They came after the Second World War. Duke University delivered a shortened medical course. They called it the physician assistant. And it took off. And in the American system, healthcare is mainly delivered by physician assistants. In the UK, it's been around for 15, 20 years, something like that. And it is taking off. Physician associates are a new practitioner. They're trained on the medical model. They're here to deliver preventative holistic care under the supervision of a practitioner. Okay, I'm not saying a doctor, I'm saying a practitioner. This is medical doctors on one side, and this is physician associates on the other. Go to medical school at the age of 18, you do 2 years basic science, 3 years medical clinical education, you come out into your foundation years. Physician associates, they do 3 years biomedical science, they get a 2-1. They then do 2 years condensed medical education, and they come out and do preceptorships. In fact, we've got two physician associates in the room, just put your hands up. Hands really high for us. So if you want a conversation with them, they are a new practitioner. They are not a doctor. They are not a nurse. They are a new practitioner. There is a national curriculum delivered by the Department of Health. It looks like this, much like the medical curriculum. And there is this thing called a core clinical conditions. This is on entrusted professional activity. What does that mean? It means we have a list of conditions by which we entrust these practitioners to diagnose and manage and treat patients. Okay. It looks like this. If they're a 1A, they can diagnose and manage themselves. If they're a 2B, they might struggle to diagnose and manage. They need some learning about it. Okay, it's important you recognise that, because when Sarah describes her preceptorship, she'll talk about how she's upskilled these physician associates to deliver respiratory care. This is what the respiratory core competencies look like in the curriculum. Nothing you wouldn't expect there. You know, COPD, influenza comes very close. They can diagnose, manage, treat that. If you've got a HIV-related pneumonia, you know, you might struggle at time of qualification to diagnose and treat that. Okay. So in the Northwest, we've delivered 299 physician associates into the system in the last 3 years. We've got 157 graduating 2020. We've got 190 intake for 2019. We've just had 2019. And my plan is to up it 20% every year until we've saturated the system. So three physician associates to every one doctor. We surveyed this workforce. We said, what is it you want to do? What is it when you graduate that you see yourself doing into the future of the NHS? Where do you want to work? What do you want to do? And most of them said, we want to work between primary and secondary care. We don't really want to work in primary care. We don't really want to work in secondary care. We want to work across both settings. It's important to recognise that because there's a gap, isn't there, between secondary care and primary care. It's well written in the literature, this gap. The collaborative relationships are not there. That is what affects patient care. So they want to work across that gap. That's brilliant for us, long-term plan. And this is what we've done from the Northwest in terms of employment, innovative employment. So, yeah, some of them have gone directly into primary care. Some have gone directly into secondary care. A lot of them have gone into LIFT models. I'm going to tell you a little about LIFT. And then we've got this respiratory QI program that's gone so well, this preceptorship that's gone so well, we've scaled it this year to deliver every physician associate that is graduating into preceptorships of this type. I'm not saying respiratory, but the priority program preceptorships. And we've got 153 graduating in January. So that's just primary care, that's where they are. Secondary care, that's where they are. Cheshire and Mersey are doing very well. So the LIFT program. So going back to 2012, I thought, oh, it's really funny, isn't it? We're trying to deliver the long-term plan. We're trying to deliver these trainees differently. We need to value them. We need to empower them. We're not doing that very well. We're hemorrhaging them. So what can we do in the way of medical education, the way of training, to deliver the long-term plan, to deliver value and empowerment differently for workforce members? So we did this pilot called the Longitudinal Integrated Foundation Training Programme. What you'll know is doctors generally come out and they go into secondary care and they train in secondary care, and if they want to, they go into primary care. And we've got a gap, and that's a historic gap, isn't it? Because if you couldn't have been a surgeon, you went to be a GP. That's historically, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, however long, 70 years ago, that's what happened before the Kalman reform. So how do we look differently? So we delivered this programme called the Longitudinal Integrated Foundation Training. And what we did was we said, okay, so what is static here? What is static is patients. There is a patient population for one GP practice, 20,000, 30,000. Those patients are around about static. And they go primary care, secondary care, primary care, secondary care, different types of services. So how do we train these doctors to see the healthcare system? Because when we saw that video of John, didn't he say, I wanted some care, but I went to my receptionist. She didn't know. I went to lots of these different people. They didn't know. So how do we train these doctors so they know about healthcare settings and healthcare systems? So we put teams of foundation doctors into primary and secondary care longitudinally. So they stayed in primary care settings with their cohort of patients. They followed them. Primary care settings, coughs and colds generally come in, you know, respiratory community service with the nurse. And then they go into the secondary care setting and they see the endoscopy clinic, nurse-led clinic, the respiratory ward. And they follow their patients if they can. If not, then they pick up patients from the GP practice. And teams of foundation doctors found it really, really good. It was really, really good. The outcomes, 2015 to 2017, were brilliant. More care and compassion demonstrated, more empathy demonstrated, psychometric testing. They felt more valued. They had less depersonalisation. They felt more satisfied. We delivered more to onward training. We delivered more QI projects. We delivered a hospital admission avoidance. The outcomes were phenomenal. So then we thought, if it's so good for doctors, how do you do it for multi-professional workforce members? And then how do you use digital to deliver educational components of that? So supervision. How do we use digital to enhance supervision across the primary and secondary care gap to give connectivity, to give collaborative relationships across the system? So that's where we're at with that, and it's going really well. We've got that across the Northwest. For the LIFT one, just for the doctors, we've scaled it to Yorkshire, Humber, to Wales, to Scotland. We've seen it in the GMC report. By 2023, we'll see it in all medical education programmes. So if you're sat in this audience thinking about digital, I would be thinking about digital processes for education, supervision. How do you enhance those processes? So we've got this long-term plan. Foundation doctoring LIFT, it was all well and good, but it isn't specific to delivering the long-term plan needs, the respiratory needs, the mental health needs, the urgent emergency care needs. So Sarah and I sat with a glass of gin. We thought about this long and hard, wherever she is. And we came up with a plan which was based on the longitudinal integrated processes that we used for the LIFT, but to deliver specifically respiratory services while we're valuing and empowering our workforce members. So that's where we're at too. I didn't even take 15 minutes. Yeah, I'm really grateful. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Kate. That was brilliant. And to hear about these new roles and to think about how they're being received into the system, I think is really important for us. So if you sat there thinking, oh, I want to know a little bit more about that, if you're in one of these settings, please do come and speak to Kate, because it's so important that we welcome physicians associate into the system and that we support them to have a really fulfilling career.